Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everyone. We're live. This is your host, the one and only Derek Oliver. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Or you can call our phone line at 845-277-9094. We just want to say good evening to everyone. Hopefully you had a blessed weekend, and hopefully you had a blessed start of the week on this Monday. My co-host, my wife, my queen, Miss Kay. Good evening.
Good evening and happy Monday.
And we just want to thank all those for tuning in on tonight. We're going to have a great show. I know we are. And hopefully we can back our show up with some word. And again, we just want to say thank you for listening in. Thank you for tuning in. And for all those that are listening all over the place and to our new friends in South Carolina, we just want to say thank you. For those that could tune in, we just want to say thank you again for listening for us. Tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about our weekend. And really, what I'm going to be honest with you, what I've learned over this weekend, it was a great weekend. It was, I feel like I lost a lot of weight. I felt like we were refreshed, restored, and now it's time to go to work. And no better place to start at work than in our own ministry at D&K Bible Break. So we're going to go to work. And I'm going to let my, before I get off and going off, because I don't know how long I'm going to be talking, I'm going to let my wife chime in on some words. So go ahead.
Well, first, let me open us up in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to come together once again. We ask that you be in the midst on tonight, that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we do thank you for being our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I concur. Amen. The weekend was great. It was great. I was happy to be around like-minded women whose goal was to do nothing other than serve the Lord and honor their spouses. So it was a beautiful thing to be amongst some loving women, and they had some great food. So I want to add that as well. So shout out to Loving God and You Forever Marriage. It wasn't a retreat. She didn't call it a retreat this time. It was like a we had a barbecue. So this was not like the formal retreat, but it was a retreat for me. So I'm grateful for that. The scenery was awesome. What was really awesome about the place where we stayed at, it was owned by a black couple, and it was like a beautiful lodge, very beautiful, on the lake and everything. And to see that there in Georgetown, South Carolina, it was beautiful. So not only was being amongst the people of God beautiful, but just to know that this land that we're on is black owned, and it was beautiful. So shout out to Teresa and Al Kaiser, awesome man and woman of God. So I learned a lot this weekend as far as talking with the women when we had our tea time. There's one topic that was discussed, and I have to be honest, I'm not there yet when it comes to this particular topic, but I'm not going to go into it now because I don't want to steer the conversation a different way, but it's just one topic that I'm still learning and I haven't really gotten there yet. So I'm going to let you go ahead and start off with what you wanted to say because I want to deter you from what you were trying to say.
Well, first of all, I'm nosy. And you got me curious because this is the first I've heard of this. So I'm curious. I'm going to let you talk. You go ahead because I know exactly where I'm going.
The topic that was discussed, one of the topics that was discussed is like joint banking. And I'm not a fan of joint banking, but all the scriptures that were thrown, you know, like two become one and I mean, pray for me. If I'm out of order, pray for me. But I'm not there yet with the one account thing. I feel that we can put our money together and we can pay our bills and whatever my husband needs to do on his end with his paycheck, he does that, and whatever I do on my end. But everybody's like, it's not supposed to be separate. You're supposed to put it all together. And I don't know. Personally, I'm thinking – whatever works for your household works for your household. But at the same time, I'm like, am I wrong with thinking that? So
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you. It's never been an issue. And so I don't know. I haven't made it an issue. You haven't made it an issue. But in other people's, it becomes an issue because they can't. To me, it's just with trust. Do you trust? Can I do my end? Can you do your end? So far, it's working well. Why mess up something that's working? Because someone said, well, scripture, you should. If you have any issues, and I believe if we ever stumbled across some issues where we had to do it, I believe we could do it, but we never stumbled across no issues to where we had to do something like that. So I don't think that you're wrong in that area. You know, I really don't think that you're wrong. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But if it's just like when I say that I like to cook, if a man's wife is cooking for him three square meals a day, that works for them. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to work for us. So I don't particularly see where you say you're not there yet. We're not there yet. I'm not, you know, we're not in that place right now. Now maybe in the next level or, you know, a different season, we may have to explore that. But right now, you know, we're going to do what's working for us. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm very happy where I'm at. And we don't have no, and I'm not saying we don't have no financial issues or never do, but right now I think that when it comes to me and you, the other couple can do what they want to do if they want our opinion. And then sometimes you do need that. And at some point, I do think I'm going to need my wife to help me with my finances. She does already, but I think she's going to take more of a responsible when we get to another level to help me get to where she's at. So, but that's at a different season. That's not for us right now. I'm not trying to, you know, I ain't trying to take all my wife's money either, you know. I'm not trying to do that.
That's what was said. It's not my money, it's not my money, your money, should be together.
That's tit for tat, because what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine is nothing like not like that. But at the same time, as a man, at least me, and I'm just going to keep it here, then I'm going to jump into what I got to jump into because I got a lot to say. What's my money is my wife's. If she needs anything, she knows she can get it from me and vice versa. There's never, oh, that's
exactly
mine, you can't have it. It's never like that. So if it was like that, it would be an issue. And then you would have to go to scriptures and be like, okay. But if it's not an issue, it's not an issue. There's certain things I won't go in my wife's purse. Not that I feel that she, it's just I've been taught, I don't want to go in her purse, period. I will carry her purse to her and give me the keys, go in, because I don't want to go in her purse. That's her private space. Well, you should, I'm not hiding nothing. It ain't about hiding anything. See, now you're dealing with a different mindset. I believe in our relationship, you should have some privacy. And I ain't saying to trying to hide anything, but why would I want to go into my wife's drawers looking for what? Isn't anything in it is not for me. And if she's hiding something, believe you me, the Lord is going to show me. I ain't got to go snooping looking for it. That's just my opinion on that. So I do understand where in scriptures you should. You could, and that's fine, but you have to do what works for you as well. And I know a lot of people will be uncomfortable with it. If you're uncomfortable with it, we'll do right and do it what works the way that works for y'all. That's just on that financial issue. But I wasn't in that session. We didn't talk about that. But what I want to talk about is what as men going to this retreat has done for me, and it's going to shock my wife when I'm going to tell her, because we didn't go over this today. We didn't go over this. I said we're going to do a recap, and I learned a lot over the weekend, a lot about myself. And one of the things that I've learned, for the people that's out there that's married, that's listening, hopefully you can take what I say, and because there were some things that was light that was shed on me that I was doing, and one of the things that I was doing, I'm going to apologize to my wife. I didn't do nothing wrong, but it's the little things you take for granted, And one of the things that I was doing wrong, and a gentleman was telling me this. It wasn't even in a session. It was just hanging out with the fellas, and they heard me speak for a few minutes, and they said, man, you powerful speaker. And I said, we can tell you love your wife. I said, yeah. And you're always trying to be there for her. And I said, yeah. And he said, that's the problem. And he said, I'm telling you, you're going to have release in year number 8. Did you tell me to hold on?
I'm just listening.
No, because he was saying that you're grabbing for your wife. And this is when he used the magnets as an example. And he said, when you try to put two magnets together, there's a lot of friction. And he said, I can tell with you there's a lot of friction. And he said, don't grab onto your wife. You grab onto the Lord. You have her grab onto the Lord. And y'all meet up there together. That way it reduces the friction. And we have a lot of friction. And he said, when you start doing that, a lot of the friction is going to leave because you're not going to understand everything your wife is doing. And it's not for you to understand. And that's where a lot of friction comes in. A lot of friction comes in, and I was thinking about that personally through the things that we were going through. And I'm like, yeah, I'm always grab on to my wife. And I really was trying to understand where he was going, but then I got it. If I can just grab on to the Lord, and if I'm grabbing on to the Lord and she's grabbing on to the Lord, that magnet, when you have that other magnet, it brings the other two magnets together with no friction. But if you try to put two magnets together, there's friction. And because we are different people, we do things differently. Even though we're in saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and we're doing things, there's sometimes we got to do things a little differently. And when you do it, there's friction. And that causes confusion. Confusion comes from what? The devil. But if you're grabbing on to the Lord and you're doing what the Lord's telling you to do, and then she's grabbing on to the Lord, we're going to meet at the top. And it will be together. And it will be a smooth transition. But when you're trying to grab on to somebody and they're trying to grab on to you, try to put two magnets together and see what happens and see how long it takes. But if you put two magnets together with a bigger magnet and you pull it together, it'll go right up to the top together with no friction. And it really done something to me because I'm like, wow. And we've had friction in our house with the kids. We had friction in our house amongst the way we do certain things. This is a lot of friction, and it causes you to keep your eyes off of the main magnet. I'm trying to grab on to her. She's trying to grab on to me. No. The only way I can grab my wife is when I'm with holding the hand of the Lord. And when we meet up there, we'll be together, and we'll have perfect understanding. I received that. I really did receive that. There was no, and this wasn't a minister. This was just from a married man that was telling me he saw that in me. to grab on to the Lord. Stop trying to grab your wife, because you're not going to understand everything. He don't know my wife. He don't know the situations we're going through. And there's some things that my wife's going through I don't understand. I don't understand it. And me trying to understand it is doing, sometimes it makes the matters worse. And that's not coming from me. Sometimes my wife will tell me that. I make things worse because I'm trying to understand something that I can't understand. But if I just hold on to the Lord.
Or you're trying to fix something that you can't fix.
The same thing.
And it's like,
right.
You can't
it's
fix
the
it.
Same. Exactly. It's really the same thing. And but see, when you try to do it, it's like I'm trying to grab on to you. And when you're trying to grab on to you, trying to do something that's impossible for me to do. And with other men, there's sometimes your wives, I know you love them, but sometimes you just got to let them deal with what they need to deal with, and you just grab on to the Lord and meet them at the top. Because if you try to grab on to them, try to put two magnets together and see how much friction you got. And me and my wife, we in a great place, but there's some things I just don't understand about my wife. I just don't understand it. And now I feel so much better that I don't even have to try to understand it. I can just leave, and the Lord said it's okay, because he put us together. And if he put us together, we're going to meet him together at the same time without the friction. So I'm praying as I move forward from over the weekend that there's going to be less friction that I was allowing to come in, because I was trying to fix everything. Can't fix everything. Can't put out all the fires. I can't help it if her kids don't like me. I can't do something. I have no control over a lot of things. And when I say I feel 50 pounds, I feel I'm still going to be the same Derek. I'm still going to be the same person. I'm not fighting every fight no more. I learned that. I've learned that. I've learned that the position I'm in at the church, I asked a couple questions to the person that was running the retreat. I asked him some questions, and he was very open and honest with me. He was like, man, how do you do all that you do and have the support of your pastor? And I said, what do you mean? He said, man, when you tell me you speaking, you and your wife doing something, your pastor's like y'all's biggest cheerleader. And they came down to the revival, when we had the revival back in February, and he heard us preach. It was a different situation, and it was just different because he felt as if, and I don't want to give out a lot of information, but he just felt like he didn't have the same support in their ministry. And when I say it's bigger, they've touched a lot of lives. They have a lot of a big following. And he was just, we had a I had what he needed, and he needed, and he had what I needed. And it was just, it was a blessing. And here I am looking at all the stuff that's going around that we were dealing with, and it's like, that really doesn't even matter. It don't even really belong in the church. And it was an eye-opener to me. So, yeah, it's going to be, when I say a different D.O. is going to be a different preacher that preaches, you know, it's going to be different. And it's going to be different because I'm going to use what we call in the group, we're perfect. And I'm going to say this about the men of Praise Tabernacle. We are perfect. And when I say that, I'm saying that because I want you to understand what I'm saying. No one individual is perfect, but we all been through situations that we can grab from one another to make our situation perfect so we don't have to go through it. And when we start thinking like that, start praying like that, and start moving like that, less and less will we have to deal with the enemy, because we can go through the sources within the family, within the house that we serve in, and get what we need. But if we're in there doing things we ain't got no business doing, it's hard to grab what you need. And there was a lot of men that was in there that were real men, that were men. And what I mean by that is they didn't have no issues with when people make mistakes, looking at them crazy or funny. And I met a pastor from North Carolina, and I think we kind of hit it off pretty good, because he was telling me that he said, well, listen, man, you know, I'm a pastor. He's a pastor. He said, me and my wife was about to get a divorce 3 years ago. He said, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was at my rope's end. He found Al and Teresa on social media and immediately got into the group, and it saved his marriage to where they're thriving now. But they was on the edge of divorce. And I was just listening to him talk, and I was just amazed. And I said, you don't even know him? You ain't one of the you know, because my wife is friends with a lot of the ladies she met prior to me moving to Georgia, and they just started this thing in 2018. So, you know, my wife knew some of the people. But this man didn't know none of them, and he just jumped in, and it kind of saved him. And I asked my wife a question. Do you think that this would have helped what we had this weekend, a lot of the people that we know? And if you listen to us last week, we both said that we had heavy hearts for other people. And it was like the Lord showed me something about that, too, because moving forward, you know, what we're going to do, we're going to open up so people can see and have. Not saying that they're not out there, they're not doing it, but I'm telling you, the weekends that we spent with these people, we come back refreshed, renewed. Even our nap time it just seemed like the nap was better than what it's ever been all year. It just seemed like those hour nap that we took, it was just refreshing. And the whole weekend was good because as we were driving to South Carolina on Friday, to show you how the devil tried to attack us, my wife got sick. And if you know anything about me and her, she drives everywhere. So I had to drive at least 200 miles because she was sick. And I'm just playing. I didn't drive 200 miles. I drove for like 20 minutes. But anyway, I drove about 20 minutes because she really, for the last 20 minutes, she couldn't make it. And so I was getting worried. I'm like, okay, we got all that way down here that we need to find an emergency. So we had to do some, try to fix her real quick. But the thing in that she allowed me to drive, she had to trust me. And not only trust me, a lot of times when you're in unfamiliar waters, can you trust your spouse? Can you really not even trust your spouse? Can you trust the Lord to trust your spouse? And it just showed from that point, because now I had to make sure my wife was good and also enjoy the vacation or the retreat that we were on, and it just worked out the whole weekend. And you know, we played games. You sure can.
Okay, so yes, the enemy tried to wipe me out this weekend and not let me participate in everything that was going on. I had a lot of pain, but I made it through. Ended up went to the urgent care last night, and I feel like I'm fine. I'm getting there. I'm not 100%, but I'm getting there. But the enemy did try to ruin the trip because my husband, he gets so worried. And he was like, we're going to the hospital right now. And I'm like, we just got here. Just let's chill out. Let's see if these home remedies work and all of this stuff. So I appreciate you taking care of me like you always do. But by us being away from home, it was pretty much just me and you. It's not like we could call, you know, my sister or anybody else. It was just us. And we wrote it like we were supposed to write it. So I appreciate you with that. And what I like about the retreat, what you were saying, like it's not a retreat where you got at 1 o'clock you're doing this, at 3 o'clock you're doing this. It's not like they don't push. Everything is biblically based, but they don't push where, oh, you got to do this and you got to do this. Ain't nobody so saved that they can't not be studying at all times of the day. So that's the good thing about it. They give you rest time, you breakfast, whatever, do whatever you want to go. We ended up leaving, going to another part of Georgetown, trying to find this Front Street boardwalk, but we never found it. But we found the Piggly Wiggly, and I did get some yellow grits, so I'm grateful for that. And the nap time, it was so peaceful, and we didn't need the TV on, nothing. I said, how come we don't do this at home? Like, we don't just relax and not do nothing. So I think I'm going to incorporate us just doing nothing, because on weekends, I pretty much run. I do a lot of running because I don't do it throughout the week, so I do it on the weekends. So I thank God for allowing us to be at a place where we can just take in the scenery, enjoy like-minded people who are seeking and working for the Lord and serving the Lord. And it was just a beautiful thing. And that's all I wanted to say.
And again, like I said, I feel guilty because I feel like we held out with other people that should have been there with us. And but when I say that, I'm being selfish because, you know, when you go on vacation, you really don't want to take a lot of people with you. You want to leave your, how can I say it? I'm going to say it as nice as I can, but it ain't going to sound nice. You want to leave your drama at home. So you really can't take a lot of people with you when you go, because you have to take. But the word that was, and like my wife said, the men hung out like men do. And I met a lot of real men. And there was a young brother that was there, and he was new. He was new to marriage. He was new to knowing the Lord. And when I say he was new, he was brand new. But no one gave him that blank look. No one gave him the look like you know, like he didn't fit in. Even though he didn't fit in, by the end of the weekend, I can tell you that that young man had, we had made a lot an impression on that young man because we didn't give a look. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But just moving on, and when I say this, is the fact that I say I apologize to my wife because I take a lot of little things for granted. We went to a Saturday morning after breakfast, we went to a men's day at a church in Georgetown. And the bishop said something. It was a bishop, I can't remember the name. They had a real night short service for their men's day. And the marriage retreat people, we were part of it. And some of the men that was in the retreat, it was their church. So we went there, and the bishop said something that was about men, and he was speaking about marriages. And he's been married over 40 years, and he was saying just a few weeks ago he was putting in a new sidewalk in their home that they've had for years. And he said he was replacing it, and he was doing the work, and he was laying the cement. And he said his wife came up, and it was hot, and he was laying the cement. And she said, it looked like you're doing that wrong. And he said before she got the word wrong out, he turned to her and said, I can handle this. I got this. You just go back in the house. I got this. And turned around and started doing his work. And his neighbor came over, who's been a neighbor for years, and told him, man, you're doing that totally backwards. And he said, huh? And as the man was correcting him, he said he felt his wife's eyes still looking at him, and he couldn't even turn around because he felt guilty because he didn't want to listen to her. The moral of the story is a lot of times when we men, when we go out and we work, there will be a gentle voice. No matter what type of work you're doing, you could be doing men work. You can be doing work that you've been doing for years. And because we're so prideful, and because we think we got it all together, there was a voice, he said, that the Lord was telling him. It was a little whisper, you're doing it wrong. And because she was a woman, and she didn't know nothing about pouring concrete, he was too stubborn to listen. And he said, if you think about that for a minute, there's been something that your wife told you, and you were too stubborn to listen. Because you had it under control. And then you find out years later you didn't have it under control. You should have listened. And the moral of the story is that I thought about that, and I thought about my wife telling me some things, and I'm telling her she don't, and I haven't told her she didn't know what she was talking about, but the thought process is, you don't know, I have a clue with you, I'm going to do it my way. And then we want to cover it up and saying that God told us to do it this way. And the thing about that is, I'm guilty. And he said, if you ain't never done it, and you ain't never guilty, then praise the Lord. He just did it, and he's been married almost 40 years. And I know I've done it, but the thing again, have I ever apologized for it? Because when someone's trying to tell you to stop, and you don't stop, and you keep doing it, you're hurting them because they didn't heard from God, and they're trying to tell you, and you're ignoring God. Because when God speaks to your wife, that's God speaking. That's God speaking to you. And a lot of times we think we got it together, and we really don't. And I'm feeling myself, and I'm like, man, that was kind of deep. And then on the ride back, I'm telling you, the guy's telling me about the magnet and filling me. And he said, I know you preach hard. You do everything hard. And the man told me, now, he wasn't a minister. He wasn't. He just said, man, I'm telling you, you will be released year 8. You're going on year 6 of your marriage. Year 8, you're going to be released. And I'm like, you mean to tell me I got to go through 2 more years of like I just went through? The devil is a lie. He said, it's not about that. It's not about you going through 2 more years. The devil don't like what you and your wife are doing. And he's going to throw he's been throwing the kitchen. And I'm like, well, how you know he's been throwing the kitchen sink? It was the truth. But here I am trying to fight with it a little bit. But before the end of the night, before the end of the day was over with, it all came full circle. And I'm trying to say, what I'm saying is, yeah, we're good. Yeah, we was restored. Yeah, the word was good. Yeah, these are some great people. These are just regular, everyday believers who try to help anyone that can help get to the next level. And that's what they were trying to do with me. And the pastor had made a comment, and the comment was, I can see, and my wife was there, so I can see everything you're doing. The devil is just trying to destroy it. And I'm like, okay, this is the same thing the man just said in the car. They ain't even met each other. Why is everyone picking on me? And it was like, it was confirmation. It was confirmation that the devil is after me and my wife on every level, in every situation, when it comes to finance, it don't matter. You name it, the devil is there because he's angry. And he's even more angrier now because I'm almost certain that me and my wife are going to put together something because people that we know need to hear what we heard. And because we ain't all together. We ain't all, you know, it's nothing but God is keeping us together. And when we go to something like this and you get it, I don't want to be stingy with it and be like, oh, this wouldn't help this person or that person. I ain't saying it'll help you, but I'm just telling you what it did for me and her and how rejuvenated I feel. And not only that, you know, the man was telling me about how blessed me and my wife were in our ministries, and we have the support of people. And we do have the support of our pastor. We do have the support, and that's what they were over. That's what they were shocked by. Well, how do you do what you do? We see you, we hear you, and you always and are you related? How, and you know, they're asking the questions. And I'm sitting there in a maze, and I'm like, okay, how do I answer this when there's no answer to be answered? Because they belong to churches, and it's, you know, they think we got church drama. I mean, it's church drama everywhere you go. And they're asking me, how do we get the support? I don't have an answer to that. But I wasn't going there to try to give an answer to how we are at Praise Tabernacle. I was going to get how are they the way that they are and do what they can do and have an effect on us. And in hindsight, we have an effect on them. And that was the thing. And they said to my wife, what do we call your wife? If she's an abandoned. They were trying. They didn't want to just call her her name. They wanted to give her the respect calling. And my wife ain't into all of that. But it was shocking to me. It was shocking to me the fact that they watch us, they listen to us, and they see how we maneuver. They watch our church when we don't think they're watching. And the man said, yeah, we saw your bishop pulling your shirt like you was the bishop. I said, no. I said, he supports everybody like that. It's not just a D.O. thing. Anyone that gets up, he's going to support and push it. But if they never seen that in their own church and we have it in our church, they're lacking something. And that's what they were coming to me for. And what I was lacking, and that's what I was going to them, and we end up helping each other out. But at the end of the day, I told my wife, we're going to come back and we're going to do a recap because this is different, because this was better than the first retreat we went to because everyone was genuine. The men was real men. And we had a young man there that just got saved, just got out of prison, just got married. They went to Vegas and got married. They ain't even been married 30 days yet. And we were back there, and you know how men do. We go back, talk sports, and fry and fish. And this young man came back there. He's a dark-skinned brother. And that don't mean anything. He was a character. Because we're sitting there talking sports, and this man pulls out a big bag of weed and just jumps in the conversation and start rolling it up, talking. And I'm sitting next to him, and it's like, okay. But did no one react crazy? Did no one say anything to this man crazy? Did no one say, you got to leave? They were very respectful. Before he lit it, one of the men said, let me holler at you for a minute. And as they went and he talked to him and brought him back and we talked to him, no one said one thing about the weed. No one said anything about the words or the language he was using. And when he came back, he was able to receive what we were talking about, even though he didn't smoke it. I ain't gonna say he didn't go to his car and smoke it. He was very respectful, it could have went another way. But again, everyone there had issues. Everyone there had problems that they were going through. And the thing about it is, we didn't let what he was doing, we didn't belittle him like we were all of that. And that was the thing that I really enjoyed. And you saw when this brother was by himself, you had another man in his ear trying to encourage him, stop doing what he's doing, stop hanging around the people you're hanging around because people don't want to see you succeed. And see, we as the church, we especially the men of the church, we have to start being men and be men and help other men. If I'm doing something wrong, I'm going to do it wrong. Okay, well, someone got to correct me. We can't have odds against one another if I'm doing something wrong. And if I'm continuing to do something wrong, as men, we need to come together. There was a lot of things that were wrong with what was going on, but we handled it like men, not church men, not men with collars on, not like we so saved like we ain't never heard a curse word or we ain't never spelled no weed before. We handled it like men. And when you in situations like that, you got to handle it like men. We can't be 100% real men to our wives if we're not handling situations the way the Lord tells us to handle situations. We have to be men about it. I'm not going to agree with everything with my wife. And now that I know I don't have to, all I got to do is turn it over to the Lord and let him deal with it. It's a lot of stress off of me. And what I'm hoping to get to everyone that's out there is sometimes we have to turn our hand over to the Lord and let him deal with things. And when he deals with things, be man enough to let he knows what he's going to do and stop getting in these little fisticuffs that we get with one another and act like, when I say this, I'm not going to even say act like women, we act like girls. We got to have our way. I'm not going to get my way all the time. It was already probably, I'm not going to have my way. I'm not going to agree with everything everybody does all the time. But if I'm doing what God's called me to do, I'm always going to have the support of the Lord, and I'm always going to have the support of the people that need to be supported. And when you lose, then you got to start thinking about things. But as long as you got the support, and everyone, and when I say this, I'm just using words, it wasn't like they were envious, but I'm going to use that word of the support that we had. And me and my wife, we like the bottom of the totem pole. But again, when I say how did the party jump off on Saturday night, it jumped off with me and my wife. We the ones set it off, and we weren't trying to set it off. My wife was in pain. She was sitting there, and she's like, I really don't want to. But her few words that she spoke, that's when church started. A few words that she spoke, because she spoke right after I spoke, and that's what started, set it off. So I'm very proud of my wife. I'm very appreciative of my wife, because what I'm saying is all true. She set it off on Saturday night. She set that thing off into, if you want to call it a revival, you want to call it a retreat, but on Saturday night, when we were sitting around talking about the goodness of the Lord, it wasn't none of the preachers. It wasn't none of the evangelists. My wife is the one that set it off in pain. And it showed me something, that my wife can go through all this pain. And when I say this, because she was in pain over the weekend, but she's also been in pain over the last couple months. No one knows because she dresses it up. She hides it really well. But she's really been struggling with some things. And no, I don't want you to think that they're marital things. She's been struggling with some things that's been in her past. And instead of coming up focusing on the past, maybe she just need a hug. Maybe she just need a girl's day. Maybe she just, because she's struggling and she gives out so much. And yeah, I'm her man. I'm gonna take care of her. But sometimes, like the Lord was telling me, I can't handle everything. I can't, because I don't understand some of the stuff. And it's not for me to understand. But she know I got her back. But sometimes we get so caught up in thinking that everybody is so strong and because they got it going on, or because they're in the limelight. Well, there's a price being in the limelight. And I know I'm just talking, and but what I've learned is I'm never, ever going to take my leadership team or my wife for granted again. I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm going to be more on fire than I've ever been, more outspoken than I've ever been, not because of any individual or really, because the Lord is telling me you have the okay to do it. People are looking at you. How are you going to respond? And I was very worried about this weekend. And I talked to my mom today, and it was again. I said, Mom, I need to come check on you, because she just got out of the hospital. She knew I went on a retreat. Now, she don't know none of my church business, but I'm going to tell you what she said. I said, I'm going to come try to check you out this weekend. And she said, don't you got to speak somewhere this weekend? I said, I just came from a retreat. Baby, don't you got to speak somewhere this weekend? Now, she don't know my speaking schedule. And I said, what they got to do with me coming to see you? I'd much rather you do the Lord's work and let his will be done than you come up here doing what you need to do, because you're going to miss something. Now, when she said it, it almost messed me up, almost crashed, because she don't know I do have to speak this weekend. And I was going to cancel everything that I had because I wanted to go check on my mama. But my mama said, you do the Lord's work and let the Lord do his work. Now, whatever she meant by what she meant, I got the answer that I needed to get to what I was going to do. When I was talking to the pastor, and the pastor don't know nothing about where I go to church at, he was saying, man, you're doing an awesome job. I wish there were more men like you, and I'm sure whoever your pastor is appreciate. He was talking to me through the pastor, like and I'm like, he don't even know who my pastor is. And he said, you're going to be speaking. And again, confirmation. I said, well, how do you know I'm speaking Sunday? And it's funny because me, Minister Tolbert, and the pastor just talked about our schedules. And it just so lines up. I'm speaking on Sunday. I don't know what that means. I don't like to promote when I'm speaking. But the Lord said, go ahead and promote it. Go ahead and promote it. If a person can watch from a different state and can see when the camera on Facebook goes and takes us a glimpse of young Minister Tolbert holding his son, which if you ever come to church and you see it anyway, it's a staple. He's always holding his son. It's nothing new. So when they say, who's that young man holding his son? I'm like, I'm thinking, oh, that's Minister Tolbert that'd be over there in that corner, holding it over in that holding his son. It's a powerful message. And see, we look at the wrong things. We look at the wrong things. And again, whenever me or Minister Tolbert gets up and preach, we all have the support of the bit. We have it. He's not hungry, on the pulpit. If you're there, you will get an opportunity. And he will support the opportunity. And whatever you want to do, he will support it. That's why when I said to what I said, so maybe I need to apologize that I don't give enough credit to the bishop for supporting what we do. Now people say, then you got to hear us. But I really don't care when people say you kissing butt. I would never kiss another man's butt, but I do appreciate because it came up and I didn't have to bring it up in the conversation. His little old Praise Tabernacle being honored and want people to know who the bishop is and why he support us and other bishops don't support their people the way that we get supported. They know more of a gold stone in our church than I do. And they're like, man, your wife is doing this. She's doing that. I said, she got it. And they, is it all right if we call her? I said, you got to pick that up with her. But, again, when you're willing to serve God and you're willing to go through the hell that you have to go through, because we go through hell, me and my wife, but it's all worth it at the end. Because at the end, I know we're going to get a reward when we get to heaven, but he's also going to reward us while we're down here as well. And I'm going to be even more proactive in helping and doing what the Lord has called me to do. I'm going to be a dangerous man here in about 20 minutes because when I hang up from D&K Bible Break, there's going to be some moves that's made and some things that's going to be done, and either you're going to roll with us or we're going to roll over you. And what I mean by that is I don't mean no disrespect, but me and my wife, we're going to a different level. And no, that don't mean we starting a church. We're going to a different level. There are going to be things that we're doing and people that we're going to be connecting with to not just help us but also help you if you're willing to get the help that you need. Me and my, we needed that vacation. We needed that trip. And it was only 2 days. They fed us spiritual food. They fed us natural food. I got to dance with my wife for a few moments. Uh-huh. Even though she wasn't feeling well, she still participated in what was going on. So I know I got a trooper. I know I got someone that's going to be there in good times and bad times because she was pushing her way through it. She could have easily said, we can go home, and I wouldn't have had a problem with it. Because when it comes to my wife, I want to make sure she has the best of the best, even when she's sick. If we got to go to the house, we're going to go. And I think every man needs to have that with their wife. Now, you can say you have it, but only through the tests and trials you go through will you know that you will get it. And then again, I'm not just saying this, but you'll get a lot more when I really start preaching. See, I've been holding back a whole heck of a lot because I'm trying to fit in. But you know, I'm not going. We're already there. We're too much involved in other things right now, and the Lord is blessing us like He's never blessed us before. And I'm going to say this again, and I say this because there's been a lot of people that's been in the house that's been helping us and helping us get to different levels. I don't need to call names out. And the reason I don't like calling because I don't want to puff nobody up, but they know who they are that's been helping us. I had to call the pastor today. I'm like, man, you don't realize when I went there, I was going there for one thing. I didn't know it was going to be like this. And these people from South Carolina, North Carolina, they were from all over the place. And I haven't posted no picture, but you will see what we were what it was about. It was fun. And these weren't no, how can I say it, wife? I'm going to say it like this, and I'm going to let you talk, because I know I've been going on and on and on and on. But they weren't no broke, how can I say it? They wasn't no broke, Negro-type drama mess, if I can say that. It wasn't no one there looking to be in the spotlight. It wasn't no one there looking to cause no drama. There wasn't no one in there. These was real men. And I'm glad that I was a part of the real men. I'm so glad I was a part of that. And the stuff we was talking, was no church drama nowhere. These were real men. If they got an issue, they're going to say what their issue is, and they're going to leave it, keep it going. You know, we're going to talk about it like men. We'll step outside. What's the problem? This is the problem. Well, let's fix it. We can't fix it. All right, we just agree to disagree. You go left, I go right. But when we come together, we're going to be together and we're going to be brothers for life, because that's the way men do things. And I hate to say it, but it's like, wow. And again, riding home, I asked my wife, do you think this would have helped anybody? All this knowledge, all these people.
I wish everyone would be able to experience the genuine love for Christ that everybody represented. And it was, everybody wanted everybody to succeed. It wasn't like anybody was better than anybody else. Everybody there had a piece of advice or something biblically based that they can share with you, just life experience. I was sitting with a lady, and we were just sitting because I like rocking chairs, and it had a nice porch. We were just sitting on the porch rocking, and we were talking, and I'm like, our stories were so similar, and I never met this lady in my life. We exchanged phone numbers. I mean, our stories were so similar. It's like the Lord knows. Even when you're with a crowd of people, he knows who to link you with. So that way, it just makes everything so much better to make you know, okay, look, the Lord is saying, I see you. You're not alone. This person been through it. And if they've been through it, you can make it through it. And I just think everybody needs an example of someone who truly loves the Lord and not trying to be in your business, but to truly help you. So I think everybody needs to experience that. Whether you're married or you're single, it doesn't matter. Just in life, period, everybody should be able to link up with somebody who's coming straight from the heart of God that wants to see you do better and pull you up and not be like crabs in a barrel and try to pull you down. So I think everybody should be able to experience that, single or married. And what I learned is, you know, which I already knew all of this, the Lord is greater than anything we face, you know, in this life. He's greater than anything that we go through. The enemy, you know, he wouldn't attack us so hard if he didn't think we had much to give or much to offer and much to do. So we recognize that when he's coming hard, okay, Lord, I'm just going to serve you even harder, because the enemy is not going to stop nothing. Regardless,
because it's the prize of the night. Because we're actually going to be putting together something like a marriage retreat. I'm not going to call it a retreat. But I'm going to call and reach out to some of these individuals.
You got to discuss with me before you be putting stuff out there.
First of all, it hasn't been set up yet, and I will talk with counsel, which is my wife, and we will put something together. And me, I'm talking about the first of the year.
If the Lord says this, where we're going with that.
The Lord already told me.
Okay, but a lot of times you can put too much on your plate, And I'd rather be effective than just be doing.
Like I said before, and like the man prophesied over me, I go hard with what I do. If I'm gonna go, I'm gonna go out serving the Lord. I'm not. There's too many people hurting.
We just said last week we were hurting. Okay, nobody is saying that. Let me finish.
Because like I said before, something happened between the trip there and being in the lodge that happened with me. There were so many things that I saw, and there were so many things as a man that I'm looking at that I can do more. Now, when I say I'm reaching for the Lord. All that stuff that was trying to grab this and grab that, no, all that stuff is gone. So I feel better. I'm not even focused on that no more. I'm not focused on the kids. I'm not focused on any of the issues that we have, who like me, who don't like me, who want this and that. It is really because it takes too much time, and then you have to. No, I like where I am right now, and the Lord is telling me to help people. I may not have the answer, but I know someone that has an answer. And when you was in a group of men, each man had their flaws, but there was someone there that was strong where I was weak. It's the same thing in Praise Tabernacle. There's enough men in that church where someone is weak, someone else is strong. It may not be me. It may not be you got to look in the house. You can't always look for people who's in position, it's not always going to come through them. You know, I grew up in the church. I'm not a hood. I know a little bit about it because of my brothers, but I'm not that person. So I can't relate to everybody. But if you get together and you get the right people together in the right setting, stuff will come out, especially with the men. And even with the women, stuff will come out. Cleansing will happen. Deliverance will happen. Because it's honest, it's true, and it's pure. I'm not talking about have something where everyone got to have their name. We're not doing no lights. The one thing that I like is the pastor that was there, he didn't lead the prayer. Now, he had a few words right towards the end.
I think you put your phone on mute. All right, so I'm not sure what happened, but your line went out. We cannot hear you. The point I was trying to make was outside of Christ, we can't do anything. So everything that we do should be to edify and lift up Christ. It's not about us. It's not about our agendas. It's about what Christ wants us to do. So with that, we do have to do everything decently and in order, make sure that Christ is telling us to do what we need to do. And I don't know what happened to Demista, but let me check on him. Okay, so he'll be back with us in just a moment. Sorry about that. Not sure what happened, but like I was saying, everything that we do should be to edify Christ and lift Christ up. Nothing that we do is for our own benefit. So when we lift Christ up and people can see the Christ in us, then that makes the transition for others to say, hey, show me how to do that, or I see you went through this, and can you tell me how you made it through? We should all have a testimony ready for somebody to understand what the Lord can do. Are you there?
I'm here. You see how the devil be just trying to mess with my mic? I'm sitting here talking, thinking everybody hearing me. I ain't looking at the screen or nothing. And I got text messages. You offline. But anyway, we're gonna definitely go to another level. Starting after we hang up this phone. D&K, we only gonna take it to wherever the Lord wants us to go. And when he says stop, we'll stop. But right now, we're going to go. We're going to go even harder. And for the people who don't like the position I'm in, well, I'm going to throw it up every chance I get, because I know the devil don't like it. And because the devil don't like it, I'm going to keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. But again, support. Support for one another. I have to support my wife. She's going to support me. We have to support one another. And the thing that I left there with was people were impressed by the way And see, this is the thing that I don't like. I like it and I don't like it, because we went there, me and my wife. This is Derek and Kisa. That's what we went there as. We weren't trying to be no big wheels. It wasn't about showing off chaos or being. It wasn't even about that. But that was brought up in every avenue that I went down. And I'm like, okay, let me be quiet, because I don't want people thinking I'm bragging. And they brought up my bishop. They brought him up. I didn't bring him up. I hung up the phone when he was at the bed. I didn't bring. They brought him up. How do you get that support? How am I supposed to answer that question? These people from North Carolina, South, they want. How do you get? Our pastor don't support us. We went to a men's day, and when we went to the men's day, there was a female pastor. We didn't see the pastor until we walked out the door. Now, I'm not saying she didn't support it. I'm not saying she wasn't with it or anything. But what I'm saying is, even the gentleman, like, man, I hear how that. I wish I had that here. And I'm sitting there with my mind scratching my bald head, wondering why they, you know, what's up with this? What, all right, Lord, what you trying to say? So in my meditation and in my prayer, and I know my wife, she likes to do things decent and order. She likes to have conversations. She likes to go over blueprint plans and all of that. And it's fine to do that. I'm one of them. I'm just raw. I'm going, we're going to do it. We're just going to do it. And whoever it helps, and whoever it doesn't, doesn't. I'm not crossing every I, and I'm not dotting every T, and I'm not, I know I said it backwards for a reason. I'm not doing it like that. And people say, well, you should know, I'm going to do it the way the Lord say do it. He say do it, we're just going to do it. Now, I am going to have a little counsel and talk to some people, and we're going to do some things a certain way, and then we're going to do it. And just to show you how good God is. This to show you how good God is. I made one phone call today, and I was trying to get some taken care of because we're going to be doing a baptism. And I asked the people at the same hotel that I was at last time. I needed to come there. I said, I want to try to do something. And if I can do it, can you work with me? And he said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to do a D&K ladies night and have some ladies preach on a Saturday, and then on Sunday I want to do a baptismal service in the pool. They told me what they normally charge, and I said, ain't no way. I said, man, I just had a revival. And they said, but for you, I'll let you do Sunday for free, and I'll cut the price in half on the Saturday night. And I hung up. I said, all right, bet, write it down. I'll get you a date, and we'll be able to work it out from there, as long as we got that same deal. That's the way God moves. I didn't have to negotiate, sign up. It's just the way the Lord moves for me. And I really, and it comes from my wife and anybody else, I move the way the Lord tells me to move. If they don't like it, then that's just too bad. That's just the way I move. And my bishop knows me well enough. That's just the way I move. When something happens, we move. We not waiting, and I don't have time. Short life is short. Stuff I don't have time for all that. And the stuff that we have inside of us that needs to be out for everybody to hear. And we ain't all that. We just regular people trying to go to a different level. And because I'm trying to go to a different level, join me on Sunday, because I'm telling you, I'm going to have something on Sunday. I got to get this out before Bishop beats me to it. But I seen something on social media, and I'm going to talk about it on Sunday a little bit. I saw I was in the cabin, and I was online looking at some things, and I saw the pastor's son hit a home run over the fence. I think it was over the fence. The way the crowd jumped up so quick and screamed, and it seemed like it was a out-of-the-park home run. And one of the things that I'm going to ask on Sunday that I'm going to ask tonight, so I'm going to give you a little homework. And as you know, our bishop is traveling around with his kids playing in all these different tournaments. But the tournaments that he's playing in, he's playing against the best of the best. That means he goes from one tournament to another. These aren't just people you pick up at a park. These are the best of the best. So when he hits a home run, he's hitting off one of the best pitchers that's in the area, or one of the best pitchers that's there. It's not a weak pitcher. There's no weak links on the team. So my question that I'm going to ask is,
What devils are you playing with? Yeah, what devils are you playing with? Are you still backbiting, gossiping? Are you still in that lower league type of ministry, type of mess? Or are you dealing with the big dogs? When you go against Satan, are you going against the best of the best? Are you still doing the stuff that you've been doing for the last 20 years? That's what we're going to be talking about. Because when you travel and you play, you're playing against the best competition. And as saints of God, are you still dealing with the same demons you've been dealing with for 20, 30 years? That's what we're going to be talking about, the type of demons you're dealing with. All of them are dangerous, but some of y'all been hanging around the same demons for a long time. It's time to graduate. It's time to play with the big boys now. And, yeah, I was some being around real men. Yeah, we tired of dealing with this stuff down here. It's time to take it up a notch. It's time to deal with some other stuff. It's time to go out and get these men that's on drugs and deliver them. It's time for us to go out there and teach these young men who think we're busting a tag. It's time for us to do something a little different. It's time for a new level of what we're going to do, because this same mess that's been going on in church for years and years. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I want to travel. And when we were with these men, you could talk about anything. Someone had an answer for you. There was a white man there. And I'm done. I'm going to let my wife close this out. And he has a Uber. He drives Uber. But the thing about his Uber, he painted his car. And on his car, he called it the Rapture Mobile. And every time someone gets in the car, he tells them, this might be your ride. If you don't know Jesus, you might meet him, because we're going to get raptured out of here. So hopefully you know him so you can go with me and my car. He got a picture of Jesus on his front and the back. It's called and his whole life is dedicated to the ministry. So when he goes out, he meets different type of people. He's not dealing with the same old crowd. And see, we as men of God, and I'm saying this, and I'm going to be saying it, it's time for us to step up, step out, and do what we got to do. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of coming to church in the same, the same old thing. It's the same old song. It's the same old type of, it's time out for that. And in order to do that, you got to have things where you can elevate people spiritually. Elevate them. How do you elevate them? You surround them around people who's going to the same place that they're going, who have the same issues that they're having, and that's how you elevate them. Hey, I'm on fire for the Lord. Y'all can laugh at me. Y'all can say, Derek, talk. I'm going to keep on talking because I'm not supposed to be able to talk. But, yeah, you're going to have to shut me up. And if I fail at trying to do something to please the Lord, then let me be that type of failure. I'd rather fail trying to please the Lord than fail the Lord trying to please somebody else. And I'm not trying to please man. So, yeah, I'm going to do all I can do to bring people together and to help people get to the same level I'm trying to get to. And if you got a problem with that, then you take it up with the Lord. If you got a problem with me, take it up with the Lord. And I'm telling you, Sunday's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Not because I'm preaching. It's going to be interesting because now that I understand people are watching what we're doing, yeah, I got to call it like I see it. And my wife, I know we cut up on here every now and then, and I know we're going to have a conversation when we get off of here, because my wife, that is my protector, she's going to make sure I'm not doing too much. That's what a good wife is supposed to do. That's what it is. And when I say an argument, because married people do argue, that's what we argue about. Am I doing too much? Now, who, when I go to bed and I'm like, we're arguing about, am I doing too much for what, serving the Lord? And sometimes she might be right. But in this case, we going to take it. I ain't got to be the ringleader and do this and do that, but I can get the party started, just like she got the party started. And that man read everything about you and didn't know nothing about you, your dad, or anything else. And he read you. And now that I know that people can see that and see the ministry, not that I didn't know it already, yeah, we got work to do. We got work to do. And we're going to do it. And we ain't going to be dealing with no foolishness either. I'm going to let you know that right now, too, because when the man asked me, because he saw how I was looking at him, can we pray for your wife, I had to give a check. You know, I had to make sure it was right, because I don't let anyone just pray over my wife. I'm just going to be honest with you, that, you know. But he was cool, and what he said was even better, because it was coming from the Lord. So I'm good with that. And when you're around them type of people, you in good hands. So for everyone in South Carolina that's listening tonight, that was there, we appreciate you. We love. I cannot wait to next year. We will be back, but when we come back, we're gonna bring some people with us, because I just think everyone needs to experience this. And why? I told you before. Why does, and this is before we start going to praise time, why do these other preachers get to go to these type of retreats? I see now. I see why they would go and leave everybody else at home. I see, and I don't want to be selfish like that. If I have the resources and if I know the people, I'm going to call them up, and I know they will be there for me. And then with all that being said, tomorrow night we got Bible study, 7 p.m. Be on, listen to the Bible study, and again, I want to thank my wife, when I say a bad sister, I mean that in a good way, she's just a bad sister, period. I want to send a shout-out. I don't know if they're listening to my bishop, first lady. Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Appreciate how you handled us and to support us, even when didn't no one else want to come. So just singing. Let me use that on the order. Whatever, I appreciate it, because a lot of people do not have that. A lot of people don't get that. And I don't want to be mindful and not say thank you publicly for supporting us, that other people can see that it's not about a clout. It's not about a pulpit. It's not about who done what better. It's about building up God's kingdom and building one another up. That's what it's about. So, yeah, I'm in a happy place right now, and I feel good. I told you I feel 50 pounds lighter. I'm going to be drinking nothing but smoothies all week. I'm going to leave the food alone because they fed me real good. I got enough in me to go. So so hopefully that I get to go eat a steak on Sunday. But for the next few days, I'm just going to be on water and smoothies. So y'all pray for me. Pray for my wife. Pray for our family. Pray for the church. Pray for our leaders, our bishop, our elders, our ministers, our deacons, event, pray for everybody. And again, I know this wasn't a lesson, but sometimes in a lesson, if you listen to someone talk long enough, you'll get a lesson out of it. And I'm just telling you, one of the awesome things that I've done over the last 5 years, this tops. It was better than what we stayed in the mansion, because this was real. And not that it wasn't real in the mansion, but this was more real, dealing with everyday folks. So with that being said, I know I talk too much, but again, God blessed me to be able to talk, so I'm going to continue to talk. And he gave me a platform to talk, so I'm going to use it. And if anyone that uses my platform, I'm suggesting talk. Go to the last minute and talk. Because at the end of the day, when you get judged, you go, what did you do with your time? I'm talking mine away. I tried. If it wasn't right, okay, I tried. You can never go wrong trying for the Lord. All right, wife, go ahead.
Ooh, all right. You just said a whole mouthful on tonight, so I'm not going to add nothing to it. I want to thank everybody for listening on tonight. Ask that you continue to keep my husband in prayer. Keep our PTC family in prayer. Every member represented at our church. Pray for the children over this summer. There's a lot of things going on. We have a lot of situations back home. I don't know. It just seems like everybody is just trigger happy, and it's a sad situation. So ask that you lift the youth up this summer, not just this summer, just period. Just lift up the youth, that the Lord covers them and that they make wise decisions on the company that they keep. I guess that's it. I'm just going to close this out in prayer. I'm not going to prolong. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together once again on tonight. Thank you for just letting your will be done. Lord, everything that we do, we want to see, we want to praise and honor you and give you glory. Nothing that we do is for ourselves. Everything that we do is for you and for us to walk the way you designed and created us to be. I ask that you continue to lift up Just lift up this country. We got a lot of things going on. Pray for this economy. The thing about the economy, though, Lord, we trust you. Regardless of what the gas prices say, regardless of what the paycheck says, we know where our help comes from. And, Lord, we thank you and we honor you. And I'm just going to leave it right there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Amen. You know, you could have talked some more if you wanted to.
I'm going to leave it right there. I don't want to overtalk. You had already said a whole mouthful on tonight, so we're good.
Well, that was me. That wasn't you. That was me that said a whole mouthful. You got anything else you want to say?
I do not. I'm good.
All right. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Good night, everybody. We good.